Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Janice Connell, for tonight, Thursday, February 17th, and I'm excited about tonight's show. But before we get to the show, let me just remind you that the call-in number for tonight is 914-803-4399. Again, it's 914-803-4399. I'm going to send it over to my sister very quickly, just in case she has some reading news to share with us, and then we'll get right into the show.
Good evening, everyone. Just really quickly, I wanted to just give a reminder quickly about the Makeup Show LA, which is going to be Saturday, February 26th, and Sunday, February 27th, a little different from what the Makeup Show has done before in New York with the Sunday-Monday schedule. But on Saturday, February 26th, the show will be from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and on Sunday, the 27th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and that's going to take place at the California Market Center. And that's at 110 East 9th Street in L.A. So if you want more information on that, just take a visit to www.themakeupshow.com. Also, next Thursday, if you're in the L.A. area, Thursday, February 24th from 6:30 to 9 p.m., Makeup Forever is having a launch party at NAMES in L.A. So now they'll be in NAMES. So NAMES is located at 12640 Riverside Drive. Again, that's in Los Angeles. You can RSVP at NAMES. You can email RSVP at NAMES.com, but you have to do that by February 22nd. And I think Eve is going to be at the Makeup Show, so we'll talk with her a little bit about that in the show.
All right. Thank you very much. And also just remind some of you that you can join us in the chat room tonight as well. And please get your questions and comments ready for Eve so we can make this a very great show for her. I will not do what I was going to do. I was going to read off, you know, all these great things about our guest tonight. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to let her do it herself and tell us all of those great things. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Eve Pearl.
Okay, well, thank you very much, lovely ladies, Janice and Denise. It is a pleasure to be on your show and to be one of the beauty members who are hopefully going to be inspiring to all the other lovely makeup artists out there, male and female.
Yes.
And, I'm Eve Pearl. I'm, I guess, most known as a 5-time Emmy Award-winning celebrity makeup artist. I'm an author of Plastic Surgery Without the Surgery, The Miracle of Makeup Techniques. That's a book I wrote a while back to sort of help women kind of grasp the ease of makeup application and not be so scared of it, thinking that would, you know, allow women to do their own makeovers. Because every time I did a makeover on air, they would feel so wonderful that one day. And I realized if I could help teach women how to do their own makeovers every day, they could feel good every day instead of, you know, waiting for someone else to do it for them. And that's how I realized that I really love educating and teaching. And from there on, you know, I started working on The View. That's where I won the Emmys, and I was there for 9 years as department head, and then went on with Meredith Vieira to the Today Show. In the interim, I worked with Kelly Ripa and on many, you know, the evening shows and the nightly news shows, and got to work with some incredible makeup artists. So, now I've got my studio, Eve Pearl, which is here in New York, and the makeup brand of Eve Pearl, which, you know, is known as the makeup with skincare for every complexion. And I'm hoping to help get our community stronger, to help all of us, you know, makeup artists, the pros, the novices, and just people that want to feel better about themselves, not be afraid of makeup and of products that are, I don't want to just even call them beauty products, but, you know, of things that can help us look better and feel better and hopefully that are good for us as well. And that's what the two of you are doing, and whatever we can do in this community to help it grow, strengthen, and be better at it, I want to be a part of. And that's it.
No, Eve, you said something earlier, and I mean, although I know what it is, I kind of want you to talk a little bit about what it is to be a department head, because most people, you know, they hear people say, oh, key makeup artist. And I know sometimes in film, you know, key makeup artists can take on a whole different meaning if there's a makeup department head. So just speak a little bit about, I guess, on television and on The View, you being the makeup department head. What does that mean?
Sure thing. Well, as the department head for The View, basically, you know, you're the person that's responsible to keep everybody else organized. I especially liked our group, and I used to work at All My Children also, and we had wonderful department heads there. And you can call them keys, but like you said, keys are usually on a movie set or on a film set. And a department head's duty is to make sure that every person who's on air and the guest are taken care of. If there's a particular host, you want to make sure you maintain their look. You want to have a write-up. You want to make sure that you maintain the products. On a live show like The View, for instance, besides the regular hosts, you know, we had five hosts. And then we had all the guests that came on. And live show, you don't have a lot of time to figure out who's doing what. So it's all about keeping the system going. And what I specifically appreciated about our room is when you would come into the room, you didn't know who the boss was. And, you know, I've worked in different areas, and I always strived to have everything be equal. And, you know, everybody took a chance. And everyone got to do the really famous guest or the not famous guest or the assistants. And I liked it when it was sort of equal. In many places, it's not like that. You know, only certain people get to touch the big, big famous celebrities. And I think I think we need to be a little bit more generous out there. For us, when you came into the room, nobody knew who the boss was unless it needed to be, you know, and somebody needed to get their ass kicked. And then I'd be very happy to come out and point out that, listen, you need to make sure that you treat everybody here in this room the right way and to maintain order. But it's basically the job of a key in a department head is to maintain order in a makeup room and to make sure everybody gets done on time, everybody's on set when they're supposed to be, and the products are there and there's a smooth flow and a harmonious state of being, since we're the last place that the talent, the celebrities get to see and get to be before they're going on air. Long-winded answer.
But it's really a lot of good stuff, though. You know, not only are you, you know, the boss, but it seems like the department head, and I know for, you know, being a department head on plenty of movies, the department head seems to be more responsible than anybody else in the makeup department. It just seems like the department head takes on actually more, you know, more responsibilities, more work than anyone else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's because you're not only a makeup artist, you have to put all your business skills, all the other skills that we need to have. You know, as makeup artists, we're not just like, you know, playing with colors and paints and brushes and get to be airy, which none of us are, but people think we are. But you have to be responsible to have enough products, to have enough artists, to schedule, to coordinate, to juggle, and to smile and look good while doing it all.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. That's so important. Even, you know, you said that you worked on The View for 9 years, and now you're with the Today Show. I know you've done a lot of television. Now it's the big HD craze.
Yes.
Were you able to, like, work on a television show where they weren't, you know, using HD cameras, and then they started using HD cameras. Have you been on a show where you were able to take them from what they were doing into HD, and
yes,
how was that process?
Absolutely, and that's actually how I created the whole Eve Pearl makeup line. When we were on The View, we were going into HD, and, you know, on The View, the women there were not, they were not 15, they were not 19, they were, you know, real women of all different ages and different shades. And that's when we all first started doing things with airbrush and, you know, using different type of tools. And it's not really for everybody. For our show, it gave us an opportunity to test out a lot of different variations and ways, because even when you shoot in HD, it took them over almost a year to actually air in HD. And what does HD really mean? It means that it's like six times closer than, you know, like what we were used to with the eye. It's basically very similar to street makeup and has to be flawless. And I know you're all about having the flawless skin, and that's what really HD means. It's high definition, so you're seeing everything close up. And I had the opportunity to work on these women and mix a lot of different consistencies to create that flawless finish and get the benefit of seeing it in HD cameras and HD monitors, yet never having it air. So I got to try out all those different type of consistencies. So that's how I perfected my foundations. Basically, the lovely ladies on The View were my models for developing it. And so I was very fortunate, but that's when it all came about, because the challenges that we had, you know, several of the ladies had, you know, wrinkles and like what, as we all get, you know, when we get older, well, some of us do. And, you know, some of us do. Some of us are very fortunate, but not myself. And some of the women that I work on, they had wrinkles and they, you know, they didn't have work done. So a lot of the things that you would spray on would not work on them, because for a long day it would go into the lines. And, you know, it works great on like a bald man who had like a round head. That would be great because it was, you know, it was smooth surfaces. So you have to kind of start learning your people and what works. But that's how I started developing colors. And like the salmon concealer was because of the lighting, the way the lighting would hit people, and the whole different methods of the makeup application and like the reverse contouring. And then after doing that with The View, I actually helped a lot of other stations change into HD. So that was kind of, it was great, because then we brought NBC, when I moved to the Today Show, into HD as well. And CNN went into HD and QVC. So a lot of all these, you know, these makeup, like Bloomberg, they were using the Eve Pearl brand because they realized how easy it was. And I sort of like, I already went through all the heartache of creating all this stuff. So it's great. It's great seeing that evolution.
Absolutely.
What did you ladies experience as you were going into HD? What was the first show that you worked on, if you don't mind me asking?
I think for me, Denise, one of the first shows that I worked on, I was doing television news for a long time, and I remember when we went into HD, it was such a process. Like they brought in this beauty consultant from somewhere, and you know, she wanted to change the way we were doing makeup. She wanted to use, you know, a bunch of mineral makeup, and of course, you know, the anchors kind of bought into it because they were very ignorant to what HD was, and so, you know, whatever she said, they were like, okay, let's go for it.
Right.
And you know, the big challenge for me was just pulling back more, you know, and just learning how to have a different touch.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got used to the cameras and just knowing how the, you know, the cameras saw everything. But I mean, as far as actual application and things like that, I think for me, the application could be the same. It just had to be very, very well blended. You know, before HD, you could get away with, a few crooked lines here or something, you know, not
right,
so well blended, especially when you're moving fast. And for TV, it's like for television news, you know, they have to be done by a certain time. And, you know, if that time comes and you're not, you know, everything is not blended the way you want to blend it, you just have to wait until that commercial break, you know?
Yeah.
But with HD, it was like, well, when they go on, they're going to see every single flaw. So it's got to be right, and you have to be quick. So
those were the real challenges of getting it, you know, very well blended and everything just being right at that certain time.
That's the key right there, really, is the blending, which you're right.
Mm-hmm.
When we were working before in, you know, with video, like doing soaps and whatnot, they can wear the makeup for 10 hours and you could just keep piling it on and piling it on and
right.
nobody would, you know, you wouldn't see anything. Like you could wear that for 24 hours piled on and it would still be okay. And with HD, everything, you can't, there is no piling on. You can't overdo the powders. You can't overdo any of it because it's going to show up. You can't use glitter because it's going to show up. I mean, there's so many things you cannot do. But once your hand gets used to it in your eye and you find the right tools, and just for everybody out there, really, news, I feel, is the hardest genre because mm-hmm. for many reasons. One is it's so fast-paced. The lighting is challenging
mm-hmm.
because you've got so many different skin tones, and they're not necessarily lit for beauty.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and a lot of the talent, the anchors, are stuck in a time warp.
Yes.
So I always say out there, when you see anchors that look crazy, don't blame the makeup or the hair people because it's usually them who want to look like that. Because sometimes, you know, makeup artists get a bad rap because you're like, how can that makeup artist be doing such? And what they people don't realize, it's the person, the anchor, that wants to look like that. And our jobs is to sort of give them what they want and hopefully slowly bring them into this century, because I'm sure you've worked with several people who have been stuck in maybe the 80s or the 90s or
yes.
who knows where they're stuck, but you just want to say, please stop living in the past.
Yes. thank you for saying that, because that is so true. Oh,
yeah.
My God. They're just stuck, period, regardless of what decade. They're just stuck.
They're
and
stuck.
And they don't want to change, and they want to continue to do everything the same way, and they want to use the same colors and just, you know, they don't want to try anything new. And, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I had to go and give every host on QVC a makeover when they went into HD. And it was, you know, on some was more challenging than on others. But once they started seeing how the others, you know, could look softer and could
mm-hmm.
look smoother and better, they you know, then everybody else will sort of go along with it, but it is very difficult. But sometimes it's good when a whole station changes over and the production people sort of like force them to, okay, come
yes.
on, snap out of it.
Exactly. Yes. Before you said that, I was going to ask you, did you ever have any problems with like kind of changing everyone over, like at a particular station? You know, did they just not get it? You know, were they cooperating?
Well, I think, you know, I feel that you have to earn trust, and this is with any kind of place that you might go into when you're the new artist, because quite often, whether you're working on a soap or a place where they have an existing cast and you are the new person there, sometimes nobody even wants to come and sit in your chair, for instance, because they don't know. You're not going to go screaming to everybody, well, I'm really fantastic, I'm really you can't really do that. You just go and be quiet and just look around, and eventually everyone else is going to be busy. So eventually somebody has to sit in your chair. You know, you don't have
right.
to be the loud one. You don't have to be fabulous. Just, like, wait. Somebody will come to you, even if it's the least important person on TV. It doesn't matter. Somebody
right.
eventually will come and allow you to touch them. And when they do that, that's your opportunity to just make them look good. Don't make them look extra fabulous. Don't, you know, like, I always tried when I would go into an existing place never to change somebody over, because they're not going to
mm-hmm.
trust you, because they have a look that they're comfortable with. But I could make them a little bit nicer, a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
just to gain the trust of, oh, this person knows what they're doing. And once they've gained your trust, they'll let you change over slowly. Even with Meredith, I didn't work on her, you know, Meredith Vieira from the Today Show. I was
right.
on The View for a couple of years, and I used to do Star, and I used to do Debbie, and then I used to do Star and Joy Behar. And after Debbie Matenopoulos, then there was Lisa Ling, and then, you know, came, you know, other people, and I started doing Meredith, I think, 3 years. I mean, I would do her every once in a while, because I would do, we did everybody, but I basically did, you know, particular people, and then once Meredith started doing Millionaire, I started working more on her. But even with her, like, she didn't used to wear lashes until I started doing her, and then, like, you know, putting on lashes on someone, it's not the most enticing thing until they see that, wow, I look way better with lashes than without lashes. So, but it took some time for them to trust you to put on lashes on them, or it took some time for them to trust you to, you know, change the way their look is. And, like, you know, and then later when they see photos from the past, they're like, wow, you know, I really do look better, and thank you. So it's sometimes you have to do little baby steps to help them. You know, even when they look beautiful, they could look great, but, you know, when you can come in, you can put your own touch in. So, like, yeah, when you go to a new place and you do one person, the other people will see that, oh, wow, she does a great job. Maybe, you know, or he does a great job. Maybe I want to try him next time. But, you know, I remember when I first started out on soaps, there were so many people, and I, like, one day, nobody, the first time, nobody even wanted to sit in my chair. And I don't care. You make the same money if people sit in your chair.
Right,
or sit in your chair. So, you know, then one person would come, and then two people would come, and then I was the idiot doing 30 people. You know, so appreciate those days when you're not doing everybody, because it makes up for the days when you do.
When you do. Absolutely. So we have a caller from the 708 area code, so we'll get them on here. Hello, caller.
Hello, this is Viola.
Hi, Viola. How are you?
I am well. I'm well. I'm loving everything what Eve is saying regarding clients. And how she was saying that to take baby steps. I really, really 100% support her with that. And how she said that she upgrades all of her clients to the look. But really, she's really a stylist. She's, when she's doing a makeover, she is really completely doing a makeover. You know what I mean? Instead of just putting makeup on clients, she's doing a makeover. And I think we all can appreciate that, and we do as a makeup artist. We get stuck in a rut as well. So what makes you, as really as an advanced artist, to advance your technique? Because even as makeup artists, I think we really need to change our techniques, because some techniques doesn't work on others. So just like with techniques with makeup.
Yeah, exactly. Just like the, you know, certain talent or anchors stay in a particular rut. A lot of makeup artists too. We have a tendency sometimes to get lazy and to say, "Well, no, I've been doing this for, you know, 100 years and it's worked for me before." No, you have to change with the times. Like, I used to do things differently many years ago. Even in the book that I wrote, I did things the way we were all taught. Remember how we were all taught to put light in the T-zone area, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We're taught to put yellow and very light around the T-zone. And then one day, one of the people that works for me said to me, who had a lot of redness in her cheeks, she goes, "Eve, I don't remember. Are we supposed to put dark on the cheeks or the light?" And while she was asking me, she actually put the dark on her cheeks.
Wow.
And she put the light on the bottom. And I looked at her face and I said, "Oh, my God." That, like, totally got rid of the redness on her cheek, and it gave her this fantastic cheekbone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really how the whole reverse contouring started, because I just kind of cleared my mind and said, "Oh, my gosh, like, that totally looks so much better than what, you know," and this was just a few years ago. So you kind of have to look at, kind of like be open to change, because and then when you think about it, my gosh, why are we lightening up our cheek area only to put blush on it and make it dark again? And like for women who are, for instance, you know, Caucasian and have all this redness and rosacea or a sunburn, for instance, when you put like a light color there, it turns to chalk. It turns to like this weird chalky, you know, powdery look. So it's terrible. And then women of color, when, you know, you try to put a light color over discoloration or raised freckles, for instance, or dark under eye circles, it just turns gray. And it has like a weird film. So none of that is good. We don't want to be chalky. We don't want to be ashy. We don't want to be none of those things. We want everything to sort of be smooth and flowy and look healthy, like, you know, the youth look.
So
sometimes you just have to look at them, and I think the monitor really helps. If you look at the monitor and clear your mind and say, "Gosh, what, you know, what can I do if I was able to recreate this person's face? What would I do to them?" You know,
right.
And that's what you have to try to figure out to make happen with, you know, the powders and the creams that we use, the colors, because we have to sort of like manipulate the face using the colors. And I think the monitor and the mirror are very, very, they're extremely important to us, and I don't think we utilize them enough. I think women I mean, I think makeup artists need to look at the mirror. When you work on somebody, you have to then look at the mirror, because the mirror is the closest thing you have to what the TV is going to see, for instance.
Right, absolutely.
Right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Viola?
Yes?
Is she still there? Oh,
yes.
Jennifer James says hello.
Oh, hello, Jennifer. I see you tweeting about the show. The Jen James beauty.
Yeah, she
right. And I am also a big fan of your Summer Sealer, too. So I just want to congratulate you for over 18 years of service as well. So everything you're saying is really what I really stand behind this Eve. So thank you again, and thank you for your time, lady.
Oh, thank you very much.
And this is Viola Nicholson.
Yes.
Viola, thank you very much.
Right? You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you.
See, it's nice to have all the love goes around, and truly, I appreciate makeup artists that get it, and I appreciate makeup artists that we help teach, because when I was first starting out, not all makeup artists like to share their information. That's another very, I feel, thing that has changed. I feel that we all realize that if we elevate the talent and the professionalism in our field, we can all make more money. Because if others do a good job and you do a good job, people will value all of our professions better. Because if the next makeup artist does a really horrible job, why would anyone pay them like a high rate? Do you know what I'm saying? So we need to raise that bar. That's why we need to educate those people that are making us look bad. So we want them to all be on our level. They will not take your jobs away. You know, please do not have that fear that if this other person does makeup well, they're going to take my job. If they take your job, it's the same mentality as like if someone takes your man, you know. Let them if they take your man, they can take him, you know. He didn't deserve to be with you in the first place. But the same thing for the job. If someone takes your job, there'll be a better one for you out there. So, you know, I think sharing and giving of our knowledge and of our information and of our talents will only bring much more wealth and well-being to you. I can promise you that.
I mean, I think that alone, that statement alone, will be a perfect topic for a panel discussion, because this whole idea of you know, the money that we make in this profession, and you know, the artists who are making us look bad, you know, only because they just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and no one's taking the time to share the information with them to them, you know, how you're supposed to present yourself, you know.
Right.
You know, what you're supposed to ask for when, you know, when you get offered a job. And, you know, you have makeup artists who have really no experience, and, you know, they're coming out and they're getting jobs, and, you know, they want to charge, you know, $1,000 a day. And you're like, are you kidding me?
Right.
But yet, it makes it bad for the rest of us, you know, when, you know, even if you're just trying to get whatever a day for, you know, a certain job, and it's just hard. It's just hard to kind of, you know, maintain a certain level of professionalism in this industry when you have people who, you know, they don't even know what professionalism is.
Right, and that's why I feel if we create amongst, you know, ourselves, which I feel is happening, you know, the wave of education, like a lot of these events, like the shows that we do, the makeup shows, the beauty shows, like, you know, IMATS. I was just in IMATS London. I'll be at IMATS New York. As we said, you know, we met at IMATS Pasadena, and there's the makeup show LA coming up. There's the International Beauty Show in New York. We'll be here as well. Take the opportunity to go to those places. You take the opportunity and the chance to, you know, take a class, like invest the money in yourself, if that's the case. But quite often, you can get this stuff for free. You know, if you go to a show, you can do a lot of classes for free. Take the time to just talk to other makeup artists. Sometimes we get intimidated. So if you're talking to a makeup artist that's intimidating you or isn't forthcoming or isn't open to you, move on to the next person. You know, there's plenty of other ones. Don't let that person shut you down. Don't let anyone take your joy. And don't let anyone take your enthusiasm, because, you know, people like Sam Fine and Kevin O'Quan, and there are people out there who elevated the amount of money that we have been able to charge. And, you know, I'm in that mix of being able to ask for particular rates, which people don't have a problem paying. And even the way that you start raising your rates is because you start working too many days at a lower rate, and you're like, I can't work anymore, I'm going to drop dead, so I'm going to just raise my rates and hoping somebody will say no. And then they don't say no, and you're like, huh, maybe I can raise them some more. So, you know, kind of that's how it starts. But there's, you know, we have to appreciate those people that actually put us at that level of being able to, you know, request and maybe demand certain pricing. And all of us as makeup artists can't just say, I charge, you know, this $1,000 and that's all. All of us, you know, if I'm doing a commercial or something for a large corporation, guess what? They're going to pay a couple $1,000s. But if I'm doing a friend or someone, a wedding who I know they don't have the money or it's like a special project, I've done things for free. I'll do things for a few $100s. It's, you have to kind of be open and sort of flexible on who you're working with. And people understand that, and productions understand that. We do a whole thing on negotiating and how you don't ever close a door. Because if you're sitting at home, you're better off making a few $100s than sitting at home on your butt doing nothing, making zero. That's my opinion on that.
Absolutely. Let me ask you, Eve, I've been wanting to ask you this. How do you become a 5-time Emmy Award winner?
Well, you know, I feel in a way it's an unfair, any kind of award type of a thing is so unfair to the people who don't even have an opportunity to participate in the game. It's like there are a handful of shows that participate that are allowed to get nominated even. Like we were nominated for a couple of years before we won. And when I first started on The View, we were nominated against a few other shows. And it was like 2 years we didn't win. And I thought we should have won because we have 5 women. And we make, you know, it's not so easy to make 5 women of all different ages, all different mood swings and whatever, look good every day. And things like, I think 1 year we lost against Martin Short. And so I couldn't really understand how that could be. Like, how do you lose up against a guy, Martin Short? And then I realized I actually went to vote 1 year. So here's the key. Every single competition, every single type of a thing like that, there is a system, and there is something in particular that judges look for. Like when you see sometimes people win an award or, you know, beauty contest, whatever, you're like, what, you know, how did this person win? They're not the most, they're not there, you don't get it. Until you go and you participate in the voting process. And when I participated in the voting process, I realized that people vote on prosthetics, and they vote on things that you would never think of voting. And that's something that's changed in the television, in the movie world, where if you notice, a lot of the shows that win or movies that win are always a prosthetics movie, something that has, you know, goblins and monsters. And I think that's all terrific because that's incredible work. And, you know, those guys are and women are masters in that field. And I actually came from that field in theater. But I feel that beauty has not been given the props it should. And we actually won those shows and those Emmys for doing our Halloween shows, which was an idea I had come up with to the producer. I said, look, we need to do something where we can make these women look, you know, do something on their faces. So that's how those Halloween shows came about. So we started every Halloween putting prosthetic pieces. Like, I remember we would make them sit through stuff and put, you know, 1 year I put all these nails into Bill Getty's head and I made Meredith. You know, we've turned them into a lot of different characters. And then Regis and Kelly's show caught on, and they started doing all these Halloween things, and they started winning Emmys. So there is a system. And once you learn the system, you can figure out what judges look for.
Oh, right. Exactly.
And there you have it. So I'm lucky to be a 5-time Emmy Award winner, but I feel that many people deserve to have lots of awards, but I feel that beauty totally gets overlooked all the time, and they don't realize how hard it is to make people look good every day.
Right. And how, now, you said the first few years you didn't win, so you've been nominated more than 5.
We've been nominated for like 9, 8 or 9. Yeah, we didn't win the first 2 times, and then when I figured out what it took to win, I was like, okay. And then we started winning. We won 3 in a row. And then Regis and Kelly, who I'm very friends with, Michelle Champagne, who's the head of their makeup department. She's fantastic. Uses E-Pro products. So that's all great. Love her even more. But then they figured it out, and then they started doing their Halloween shows, and then they beat us because they had lots of changes. You know, they did more than one. We had one, and they would every commercial, they would, like, Regis and Kelly do a change. So they started, you know, 2 years, they beat us, and then we're like, oh, really? And then the following 2 years, we beat them. You know, it becomes like a – but it's – but the great thing is it's people that you work with, and they're your peers in the industry, and, you know, we're – a lot of us are competitive by nature. Like, the fact that I do makeup is a big joke because to my friends, because I grew up this big tomboy, and I started doing makeup because I had terrible skin. I have just terrible, you know, I'm very sensitive to everything, and I grew up playing sports, and I had very bad cystic acne, and I have bad acne scarring. You know, that's really the reason I ended up doing makeup, was to try to help myself and try to find something that didn't have perfumes or chemicals, because I really have absolutely no official schooling training other than learning from the head of a department for the opera and the ballet, which is that's where I learned to do the makeup that I do. From drag queens.
So we have another caller I want to try to get in really quickly here. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, yes. My name is Tamara, and I actually live on the West Coast, and this is the first time I've actually been able to really listen, because normally I have other things I want to do. Yes.
Yeah, 6 o'clock in the evening.
Yes. Hi. Well, and I just wanted
to... Thank you very much, Tamara.
Oh, well, thank you. I just was so excited. I said, oh, my gosh, three of my favorite people all at once, so I just have to call.
Wow.
And I really don't have a big question or anything for Eve Pearl, but I just love her and her products, and I really appreciate how she focuses on education. I'm not a professional makeup artist. I'm just a, you know, makeup junkie, and I just love trying new things, and I get so many compliments, and people ask me how did I learn, and I say I watch Eve Pearl videos on YouTube.
Tamara, I love you, and you have my niece's name, and you've got my grandmother's name, so I love you even more.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. So I'm so excited. I've been to IMATS, and I've just had such a great time, and I dragged my daughter with me, and we're going to be there again, and I just wanted to say I appreciate you and your focus on women of color and how much I have learned and things of that, and I've shared with other people. So just thank you very much.
Aw, thank you.
Now, where on the West Coast are you calling from?
I am on the Central Coast. I am halfway between Los Angeles and San Francisco. So I'm on the Gold Coast where,
nice.
You know, usually when the snowstorm, the blizzards were hitting the East Coast, it was a balmy 72 degrees.
That's enough.
Yeah, exactly. Well, who's going to live here, Tamara? Oh, no. No, you know what? You enjoy that warmth. I'm coming out there next week.
Yes.
I'll be there on Wednesday.
Oh, yes. I would love to go, but, you know, alas, my regular identity is a teacher, so I can't get away. But I will be there in the summer, and I love your products. I use them. I get gobs of compliments all the time on my skin, how beautiful it is, and I tell them, oh, it's this wonderful brand. I'll tell you about it.
Well, thank you. But you know what, Tamara? I've got to tell you, many of us start out as novices and as, you know, sort of makeup junkies, or at least people that appreciate making themselves look good. And that's exactly how I started. I did it myself. And then you help yourself and somebody asks you, maybe you will care enough to help somebody else. So
Yes.
You never know.
I've thought about dabbling to that, but we'll see. Right now it's my little secret obsession.
You know, I wish you all the best luck with it. And everybody out there who, you know, there's no reason you should be labeled. I used to take companies public on the stock exchange, and I was embarrassed to say I was a makeup artist for many years, actually. And I will admit that, like an AA meeting or something, but I was embarrassed to say that I was a makeup artist because all my friends were taking, you know, they were lawyers and finance people and doctors, and I was so mad at myself. How dare I be embarrassed to say that I'm a makeup artist? And I had to, another reason I wanted to elevate our field, that we're not all, you know, kind of airhead women that, or men that do this because we can't do anything else. We do this because we're actually entrepreneurs. We run our own businesses, which is ourselves, and we're creative, and we manage things, and we juggle things, and I feel very proud to say that I'm a makeup artist. And it's still not the only thing that I am. I'm a single mom. I'm a hard worker. I coordinate things. I educate. I write. So we're never one thing. Anyone out there, you could be a teacher, you could be a secretary, you could be a mom, and you could still be a makeup artist as well. It's just we're all multitaskers here, so we can be many, many different things.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That was wonderful. Thank you very much, and thank you for allowing me to call in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for calling.
All right. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Now, Eve, we talked a little bit earlier about, HD makeup for TV. I know that that's one of the classes or workshops that you offer. What other classes and workshops do you offer? Tell us a little bit about your classes.
I do a great class for not only for HD. I do some of the, like when I was at IMATS in London, I try to focus a lot also on women of color. I always, if I can, at shows, I do always a show that's specifically geared to women of color. And, you know, women of color come up in all ranges. You could be of Indian descent. You could be of Asian descent. You know, you could be from Jamaica. You could be from, there's so many ranges. Just take women of color, for instance, who are black women. The range could be so, you know, from Halle Berry to Naomi Campbell. You know, and I feel that women of color have sort of been given a bum rap, and that's why I try to focus on it, which is kind of crazy because, you know, I'm pretty, you know, when I walk into a room, like when I go to Jamaica to do the whole Caribbean Fashion Week, and, you know, this white girl walks in to sort of try to teach and educate, it's, you don't really get the warmest reception, which is fine, but all it takes is doing one person. It's okay because I understand, and I feel that the products haven't been created, and I find it's such a, not only a disservice, it's bad business. I mean, there are so many women of color around the world. I mean, our world is colorful, you know, and, you know, we are so many different shades. Like women, you know, women in India, there's also five different shades of women in India. You know, Asian women, there's so many different shades. Just like Caucasian women, you know, some women are very light, some people are really pale, some people are red. So the classes that I try to focus on are like one is always women of color, and to show what happens when someone's skin might be a little bit more oily. What do you do when someone's face is darker than their body or it's lighter than their body? How do you even that out? How do you, you know, take the fear away from women of color, for instance, from using foundation because so many years they've been, you know, given like something orange or something pink or something gray, or their faces have been made like to look like there's a big, you know, cakey stuff on there. So I try to focus on women of color, and I do a lot of bridal type of classes. Those people love that. Lately, we're doing a bridal class called, you know, from the Princess Bride, because every bride deserves to be a princess on her wedding day. And I'll be in London, by the way, for the wedding of the royals with the Today Show. So that's going to be kind of exciting. Yeah. But those are the kind of classes I try to focus on. It's more about everyday woman. I'm not so much, you know, going after the celebrity look or the latest trend, because anyone can take a 12-year-old celebrity or a 15-year-old and make her look, you know, not hungover. But that's like the best. I mean, it's more about take the average woman like myself and make me look good. There's a challenge for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a question from the chat room, and then I have a question from one of the callers calling from Maryland. So hold tight, caller. Let me get the question from the chat room first, okay?
Okay, Iris is asking, how does an aspiring makeup artist begin to get connected to an agency or a television makeup team, and how was your journey getting there?
Okay, I have to tell you, I've never been no agency ever took me. So I spend a lot of money creating a book for myself and this and that.
Right.
You know, I take rejection quite badly, so I was like, I couldn't take the rejection, so I stopped going to agencies, and that's how. So don't be discouraged if an agency doesn't take you. Now agencies want to have me be a part of their thing, and I'm like, no, thank you, you know, good luck, but no.
Right.
So you don't, you know, an agency is not going to get you work also. You know, the agency has a handful of people that all the money goes to and all the jobs go to. Just like in television, there's like a handful of people, or in movies even, there's a handful of people – you know, they kind of do it like in the movies. A handful of superstar celebrities get all the movies when there's thousands of people out there. What I would suggest to you would be to find, you know, most everybody has a website now. If you Google any TV show that's around you, like let's say if you live in Chicago, if you live in L.A. or New York and Atlanta, find out what shows are filmed in your, and, you know, in your town, even if it's a local show. Everybody has a local network. Google that network and see who works there. See who the production people are. Who's the production manager? Find out if they list who the hair and or makeup person is. Go to that person's website. Find out what they do. I'm not telling you to stalk anybody. I'm just trying to get you to get information. You know, because
right.
if you have information, then you can contact those people, that person, and say, you know, I'd love to assist you, you know, even if you do it for free. Is there any way that I can come in and, you know, just work with you? And if you need an assistant, someone to clean your brushes, anything that I could do, you know, and don't sound like a crazy type of a, you know, like desperate. Just say, be professional and send an email. Or say, you know, I admire your work or something like that. Everybody is accessible nowadays, believe it or not. So don't be scared. That was pretty basic information. It's all free and it's all out there. Google a show that's in your neighborhood or in your town. And even if you start out in your local theater, you never know who's going to see you. And just try to work with – you have to make the human connection. Because if you just send your resume, it's going to go to a pile that no one's going to see sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry if I'm being kind of realistic, but that's what happens. So you have to make a human connection. I hire people that I don't really know if they're good makeup artists or not. And quite often, that's not the most important thing to me. I need to know if you're a good person, if you're reliable, if you're going to show up on time, if you're not going to call in sick last minute, you know, for because you had a, you know, because you had a bad moment with your boyfriend. You know, that's who I hire. I can make anybody or help anyone become a good makeup artist. I cannot make you a good person, and I can't make you have good energy, and I can't make you have enthusiasm. That has to come within you. And if you have all that, I guarantee people want you around them, and they will hire you.
Right.
And don't shove your books in front of people when they're trying to eat dinner or they're out in a social thing, because nobody cares about your book. They care about you. I know it sounds crazy, but you have to kind of, you know, and they would hire you based on a recommendation before they would hire you based on your book.
That's true.
So get
Absolutely.
People, yeah, right? Isn't it true, ladies?
It
That's
really
true.
Is.
Yeah. And
so it really is.
So invest your time in the networking aspects of meeting people. You know, just try to get out there and let people see who you are, not your work. It's about you. Your work will show itself up. And it doesn't matter if you start off answering their phones or cleaning a floor. You can become a great makeup artist going in through the side door. I'm on television. I'm the last person who thought I'd be on TV or doing even videos. I sort of did it through the side door. I just happened to be there. There was an opportunity, and I said, you know, I'll give me a shot. You give everybody else a shot. Let me try it. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's like when you're on a team playing a sport. It doesn't matter if you're the worst player. Eventually, they'll let you get on. But they keep you on the team because they like you.
Right.
So, you know, people don't realize so much of it is personality. I would have been
Definitely.
Fired on my first job. I would have never lasted as a makeup artist if they hired me based on my talent, because I didn't have any at that time. But they liked to, but it's true. Because my first big job was on Al Pacino, and he should have fired me the first day because my hands were shaking. I could not even put eyeliner on. And it was a big theatrical production. And if he didn't like my energy, I should have been fired, and he didn't fire me. So there you have it. And the same thing when I worked on All My Children. I did not have the qualifications to be working there, but they let me be the Powder Puff Girl, and that's how it all got started. And one day, Leslie Uggams walked in, and they're like, let the new girl do the woman of color who we're not sure if we know how to do. So I did her, and I didn't know. I've never done a woman of color at that point ever before. And I said, all right, let me just do what I think makes sense. And I did her very well. And because of her was when I became a request. And when you do a particular celebrity person, you could become a celebrity request. And that's how I started working full-time and regularly on All My Children, was because of Leslie Uggams. So I owe all of my beginning works to a woman of color. So I will always have appreciation to making things available for a woman of color.
Right. So we have a call from Cynthia Jones. I'm sorry, you had another question?
Yeah, but I'll wait.
Okay. So we'll call from Cynthia Jones, and then we have a question from the 845 area code. I'm going to take Cynthia first.
Hi, Cynthia.
So, ladies.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hi. Eve, I have a question. What inspired you to create the HD Dual Foundation? Because, you know, the lines today, most of you, you know, one. What inspired you to do that?
You know, even though our faces are canvas, it's not one color. And we need to play up some things and downplay others. Like on one face, you have so many different things that are going on. You've got redness, you've got discoloration, you've got darkness, you've got a lot of things. And one color is not going to do that. So for me, I wanted to, and because I travel a lot, I just wanted to make things easier. And holding a one piece of, you know, object that has two colors, I know I could. And the colors are pretty diverse. They go from kind of light, really lighter, and the darker in whichever combination you are. So between those two colors, there's no way you can't match yourself. Like if you're a light, the colors kind of go from every gamut of me getting no sun at all to me actually having a tan, if that's ever possible. So, you know, I wanted to make sure that I was going to cover the gamut. Plus, I was annoyed that many companies have like 40, 50 different, you know, shades, and you still can't find anything that matches your skin tone. So, you know, and it's like, am I a light? Am I a dark? Am I a warm, a cool? Am I a summer, a winter? I have no idea. But if I give you, like, between this range, I know it's going to cover your needs. So that's why I came up with that whole thing. And plus, I like two. I think everyone should have two of everything in their life. One is never enough.
Right.
But that's another topic for another show after a couple of margaritas.
Okay, let me get to this. Okay, they hung up. So maybe they'll try to call back. What was the chat room question?
Oh, Rochelle was asking how Eve established her brand, and also just to piggyback a little bit about what we were talking about before Cynthia's question, why is the perception of assisting bad?
Why is the perception of assisting bad?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't know it was bad. Is it bad? For me, I started out assisting, just kind of being there. And, you know, even when I would rather assist the best person than be the top of a bad situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're assisting somebody who's, like, great at what they do, you get to see how they work and how they work it. And what they do to get their work. So you get to be around the key players.
Right.
I would say that be careful of just getting assisting jobs all the time and not getting anything out of it, whether it's financial or product-wise. Because what happens quite often that I hear from people is they will work with agencies and they'll assist their top players, but they don't get paid and they don't get anything out of it. So that's, you know, you don't want to be labeled as that person because that's not right. That's being taken advantage of. Like when we'll do shows, we'll do events, we'll always do a thing on like Twitter or Facebook and we'll take assistance, but we always provide them product. We provide them stuff. We give them, you know, something of monetary value. And if they're working with us as like interns, we still, you know, offer them some money and they're getting to work and be in the environment and doing more than just cleaning up. You know, they're involved in the process.
Mm-hmm.
But just, you don't want to, that can't be your only livelihood is to assist. You know,
right.
You have to be, and the person you're assisting has to be a little bit generous with you and not treat you like, you know, you should be still treated with respect. I think that's something also we want to make sure that we push on, treat everybody with respect. Doesn't matter what you do, because and it doesn't matter, just in general, just being a good person. But in our industry, the person who is the intern PA today, tomorrow or next year might be running the company. So
right.
For those of you that don't understand that yet, you want to make sure that, you know, but you should be nice to them anyway.
Right. And then how did you establish your brand?
My brand. It's, I just did what I did. I never thought I would have a makeup line. That was not one of the dreams that I had. Again, my goal has always been to work less and, you know, to ask, how's that working out for you? I'm not working less. I'm working more than I ever have. I work for with a woman called Arianna Huffington, who is the head of the Huffington Post, who just sold the Huffington Post for $315 million, and now she's going to be the chief editor of AOL and the Huffington Media Group. And you would think that with $300 million plus, you can take it easy. She's working more than ever. But
right.
I admire this woman. She's amazing. I don't know if she sold out to do this. I created a book that led to a handful of products that I mix and I created. So nothing is private label. Like nothing is generic and with my name stamped on it. Everything is created, you know, either my mixtures with my chemists or for me exactly the way that I want it. And, you know, you start out with a handful of items and you add one more, one more, one more. And hopefully people will start using it and it's something different. And that's how it grows. I wish there was an exact, you know, model that I could draw out, but you just keep doing what you do. It's like you got to stay in the game, you got to be in it, and don't give up. And if you're building something, it'll happen. But there is
right.
no guidebook, unfortunately.
Because,
<Right. laughs> you know, I don't want to say it's an accident because I work hard. I work 20-hour days. I do love what I'm creating and what I'm doing, what I'm building. But if I knew how hard it would be, I don't know if I would have sought out the journey, but I feel my greatest gift always in my life has been ignorance and has been not knowing or not allowing other people's fears to prevent me from doing the things that I feel in my heart I was meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can't think of all the problems or all the hardships, or you can't think like that. You just have to do it. You just have to, like, take one step and one day at a time and just, like, you know, be a little bit like a bull. And I'm a Taurus, sign-wise, so I just, like, go out there. And I don't mind being ignorant about the thing, you know, fears and things. I just, you know, you'll figure it out. You'll
mm-hmm.
make mistakes and you'll figure it out and you'll think, okay, I've made all the mistakes I'm going to make. No, you'll make more mistakes and you just keep going.
It's, right.
You know, that's it. You just keep going. Hopefully you can get a good team around you. And that would be key, is to have good people around you. And not people who are going to bullshit, BS you. So that's very important.
Wow. But, you know, we are down to like 2 minutes left. And there's so much more I could possibly ask. But we won't hold you over. It is getting late. Thank you so much, Eve, for joining us tonight.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much. And please, ladies, keep up the great work and for spreading the good word out there. And whatever we can do here in the East Coast and from the Eve Pearl team and brand, we're happy to help and hope to see you here in New York. And thank you to all the listeners out there.
Thank you so much. Before you go, please tell our listeners what beauty means to you.
To me, beauty, I mean, I don't want to sound like a cliche, but in my words, the words of Eve Pearl, my pearls of wisdom, beauty comes from the inside. And it's constantly been said because it's true. If we feel good, we will look good. We will present ourselves well. So if you have love in your heart and you're generous to other people, that is beauty. And if we want to do it on the aesthetic part, if you can make yourself look good with products that feel good and that are good for you and the environment and the people around, I think then you're doing, we're on the right path. So that's what beauty to me is. Confidence and doing the right thing. And a smile. A smile always helps.
Definitely a smile.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Eve. I really appreciate it. And thank you to all those who called in with questions. I apologize to anyone that we didn't get to who may have had a question. But there's always Twitter and Facebook. Eve has a Twitter and a Facebook. It's a website.
Yeah.
You want to shout any of that out really quick?
Yeah, my website is evepearl.com on Twitter. Someone took that name. So it's the Eve Pearl. And Facebook is Eve Pearl. Yeah, check us out. I'll be at all the makeup shows coming up. And we're always available to people, and we're very accessible. So never be afraid to reach out and say hi to people. They'll be happy to hear from you, including myself. Thank you very much, and good luck with everyone. And please don't ever label yourselves, anyone out there. You can be many, many different things and be good at all of them.
Yeah,
take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. to everyone out there listening, if you enjoyed the show, please go out there and mark it as a favorite. Leave a comment here on our profile page on Blog Talk Radio. You can always leave a comment on Twitter and Facebook as usual. Thank you, Cynthia, for hanging in there with us. And we will have an announcement about next week's show very soon. Good night, everybody.
Good night.